Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we're going to be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number is 087 979 5454. And we'd love to hear from you now during the programme or indeed during the week.
And the website is godtalkradioblog@wordpress.com. Twitter, we're at Near FM God Talk. And greetings go out today to Tony, to Miriam Fergus, and also to good friend Billy Jago. And we'll catch you later, Billy. So thanks also to our backroom staff here at Near FM. That's Gary and Paul for all the Trojan work they do to keep us.
And I'd like to send a special greeting to Alan and Nicola down in Mullingar. I had a really good weekend with Alan and Nicola. And so greetings to them. I introduced them to God Talk and to Near FM.
Boy, you travel far, don't you, if you're not in Italy or in Mullingar.
That's 86 kilometres away. My goodness, yeah. That's big travel, big mileage.
Well done, well done. So this week what we're going to do is we're going to look at what good news did Jesus bring. And I think it brings us, Paul, straight away to right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. There was that famous day, and he regularly went to his synagogue, and he got up this day. And, of course, back in the synagogues, they had scrolls, didn't they?
That's right.
They didn't have books.
Yeah, and he gets himself into some hot water. But this is what's kind of the link with what we were talking about last week. We talked about good news and what is the gospel and all of that. And we said this is Jesus' mission statement. So it was really when he just comes out into public view for the first time. Okay.
Yeah, so. Well, look, in the God Talk, we look at things from a biblical perspective, because if we talk about good news. Now, I mean, we had good news in Ireland last Saturday. I don't know, many people were watching the telly.
Even
Paul was watching. And we saw that. But that was 30 men in a field kicking around a piece of dead leather. You know, and on occasion sticking their heads between each other, but we won't get into the detail there. But, you know, that was exciting. It was Ireland playing rugby, of course. We won it. You know, we beat the poor Scots, and we're set up for a nice game against England. But how come a nation gets excited about that? Well, I guess we love Ireland and the Irish team. But good news, when we bring it in the context of a biblical perspective, what Jesus did. This is really matters of life and death we're talking about. It's a matter of being getting freedom from things that we're oppressed by. So I think you have the text there, do you?
I have the scripture open, so I'll read. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marvelled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, the prophet is acceptable. No prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away.
That's wild, isn't it? First of all, they were mesmerised. They were amazed by him. He got up there and he read that word about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him from the book of Isaiah. And then they were staring at him. Can you imagine the picture, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. He reads it and he gives it back to the attendant, sits down, and all the eyes are staring on him. It's like there's something about the way he read it. It was different. There was life in it, I believe. And then they started muttering and saying, it's not Joseph's son, you know. Now that's a loaded statement, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't that not Joseph's son? Because they all muttering about Mary.
Somebody they knew so well. This was their local carpenter.
But could there have been something there about wondering about Mary? You remember the virgin birth and she was unmarried?
Well, perhaps,
and they figured a few dates out. And
Maybe not.
But I think
just the fact that he was
the wrong tree there.
We say familiarity breeds contempt. Just somebody that they knew so well, and they had just seen him as somebody who made furniture and so on for them, and here he was now preaching. People say, well, who do you think you are? And of course, one of the stumbling blocks to so many of them later was that he had no credentials, humanly speaking. He wasn't a priest.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a rabbi in the sense he hadn't ever been to rabbinic school. He hadn't done any of the training. He wasn't a Pharisee. He didn't belong to the religious class. So he was really a complete outsider.
Yeah. And yet, you know, when somebody speaks words with a kind of a unction or anointing, you know, it's different to the people who just kind of mumble it off as a kind of a religious duty. And so there was something in that definitely happened there. But then we see that Jesus quickly, he was amongst his own people here in Nazareth, but he quickly told them the story about, you know, the people of Israel aren't always favoured. You know, God sometimes reaches out to the others. And that got them hopping mad, didn't it?
It did. Well, you see, he kind of taunted them a little bit because he said, no doubt you'll quote to me this proverb. And it was a proverb, physician, heal yourself. And we know that just in ordinary life, there are people who will give lots of good advice, but they can't sort themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all good at that, giving advice to other people. But they, so in other words, he was kind of tempting them a little bit. Would he do for them the things that he had done in other towns, in mm-hmm. Capernaum and so on?
Yeah.
And so he then brings out a few examples of cases where in the Old Testament, where God went outside the people of Israel. And he mentions two particular cases, two of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, where the miracles that they worked were to people who were outside Israel.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, and then it went on that they were so mad at him that they kind of jostled him out and went to shove him over the cliff. I mean, they wanted to kill Jesus before his time right now. And then here's a remarkable bit. It says, and then he passed through the midst of them. You know, it's very hard to know exactly what went on here, but it's like he eyeballed them and just walked straight through them.
Yeah, he slipped out somehow or passed through them.
Yeah, but there was certainly a timing for Jesus' death. It was to come later, and it was at his own choice, or the choice of the Father, the timing of the Father for everything. Can I come back here, Paul, right,
sure,
to the meat of what this says? It says this, where he quotes Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do a few things, right? The first thing is he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Now first of all,
how do you understand that? Is that
the first thing I want to look at the word anointed, because I think that's an interesting one. When we think of now anointing, who was anointed? What does it mean, anointed? In the Old Testament, again, it was kings were anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And even still today, if you look at coronation ceremony, for example, the present queen, there's some old footage of her. They literally anoint her. They put oil on her head.
Special oil.
Because
it was
special oil was for kids, for kings and queens. And so the word anointed one, in English, anointed is the English word. This, the Hebrew equivalent of that is the word Mashiach. We get our word, it's the word Messiah.
Right, okay.
So in actual fact, he was really claiming to be Messiah at that point.
Right, yeah, very
significant.
He said,
I am the anointed one, which in their language was Mashiach, which was Messiah. Our English word Christ comes from it. That's the Greek word, but it's the same. Christ, Messiah, anointed mean the same thing. So he was saying that he was actually the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was uniquely chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
And then to do what? To preach, your translation says gospel, mine says good news. And gospel, we said from the Old English, simply means God's spell, which means good news.
Yeah.
So he was preaching good news to the poor. And I think the significant word there, more than even good news, is the word poor. Because again, the feature of his ministry was that he always reached out to those who are outside, the have-nots. The people who didn't have it materially, who were poor in a material sense, but also poor in a spiritual sense, people who were outcasts, who because of their uncleanness couldn't even take part in temple rituals and so on, and were regarded as second-class citizens by the religious people of the day.
Yeah, but it also says something of humility, I think, when it talks about the poor, you know, rich are people who see themselves rich in terms of, I don't need God. And I've heard that many a time talking to people. They'd say, I don't see any need of God in my life. You know, so they don't see themselves as poor. They don't see themselves needing anything. And that's it's the very first step in coming to know a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which we talk about, is seeing your need. If you never see it, there's little hope for you. Mm-hmm. But when you begin to see it, there is hope that comes.
And we've said that many times, that in fact the point at which Jesus meets people typically are points of need. There's some point of desperate need, whether it's sickness or bereavement or whether it's despair or whatever it might be.
Yeah, well, look, there's no shortage of that in this city of ours, you know, of needs amongst people individually. And so, you know, we'd hope with the God Talk program that we're here to pray for you. It did occur to me, Paul, that, you know, in God Talk, we talk about God, but we also talk to God in our prayer at the end.
That's right.
And, you know, we'd like to talk to you about God, and we'd like to talk to God about you. Probably a good catchline there.
Says it well. Yeah. The other thing I noticed there, by the way, if it's preaching good news to the poor, he's saying that what he's offering is not something that can be bought. Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't need money for this, so there isn't any price to pay.
Yeah.
And I think that's good news.
You don't have to make a big
news.
Donation to your church to get your indulgence.
No, you don't.
No.
Not a single cent.
Yeah, that is good news.
It is good news, because if it were something that, if it were not to the poor, well then people would have to pay for it. So
isn't there
it's
a great
blessings
scripture
that are free.
In Isaiah, which says, come you who have no money, come buy and eat.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great, great picture.
And of course he's quoting Isaiah here, prophecy about the Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And just before this, the Holy Spirit had come upon Jesus in a particular way to anoint him, in other words, to equip him for his own ministry. So this was really the beginning of his 3 years.
Right, we're going to take a short musical interlude here on God Talk, as we do. And this is a real classic. This is the Reverend Willie Gresham and his congregation. This was recorded back in December 1977. And it just shows the gifting that some black people in America have for music. There's no instruments in this piece, but it's a really special bit. So I hope you enjoy it.
Somebody's calling my name. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody ought to see that.
Listen. There is
somebody calling my name.
Sound like Jesus now.
Yeah, and listen.
There is
somebody calling my name.
Now,
I know I got it right.
Hallelujah.
time. Lord, I ain't gonna die no more. Now, oh my Lord, yes, oh my Lord, what shall I do?
For soon,
one more heart, old man, death crowned him in my room. Good to know.
That's all right.
That when Christ was hung on the cross,
yeah,
and when they buried him,
go ahead,
in Joseph's new tomb,
yeah,
when he rose early Sunday morning, looked back at the grave,
go ahead,
took the victory from the grave,
yeah,
took the sting out of death.
Go ahead.
If you've been born again, you can tell death these words.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh, death,
oh, oh,
you can't give
to me
no
harm.
Oh,
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 oh, oh, you can't give
to
me no
harm.
Hallelujah, my
heart.
That's a change from Johnny Cash, Anthony. Where did you dig that out of?
Oh, I got great archives. But, you know, that's real, I was going to say real early stuff, but the man who sang that, it was one of his father's favourite songs.
So what year are we talking about?
Well, it's 1977, but it's obviously a style that goes way back.
Yeah.
And don't you love the bit where he preaches and he gets all the shoutbacks, you know, from people? And I wish we had more of that in your average church.
Yes,
you know?
I remember
people are too polite.
A friend of mine telling in some of the African churches he had been to, and he said if the preacher was faltering and wasn't doing such a good job, the likelihood is someone down below would shout up, "Help him, Jesus!"
Right, yeah.
So maybe we need to say that from time to time on the radio, "Help us, Jesus."
Yeah, anyway, that was, as we said, it was the Reverend Willie Gresham. So
okay.
I'm sure, I don't know if he's still around, but we'll find out one day.
You're our researcher. You're the man with the archives and doing the research. Coming back to what we were talking about the Jesus mission statement and what he set out to do, what he was offering, and because he was offering it to the poor, in other words, those who really need it, and if he's giving it to the poor, it means there's no charge, no fee, no money required, and it lists all the various things, liberty, sight to the blind, and the year of the Lord's favour, and that's the Jubilee year. Every 50 years, property went back to the original owner. So if you got into difficulty, for example, and had to mortgage your farm, okay?
Yeah.
After 50 years, it came back into your family. You might have died, but it came back to your family. So nobody in Israel could actually buy outright. It was only at maximum for 50 years. And in fact, the amount that you could borrow on the strength of your farm would depend on how much of the 50 years, how many of the 50 years were left.
Yeah.
Because somebody would know, well, I have only got this for 20 years.
The fulfillment of that, you might say, is in Jesus, where, you know, the promises come back to the people it was for. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, all debts were cleared. There was a complete, it was what we would call nowadays an amnesty. Yeah. Everything was restored to its original owner. All debts were forgiven.
Well, I think a lot of Irish people would identify with a lot of this because of the financial crash we had a few years ago, and many people are still suffering because of that, and negative equity and serious debt, and you know, the good work of MABS and all these people. You know, just like, you know, it's a hugely stressful thing for an individual to be under financial debt. Now, also there's other debts in life apart from financial debts, and ultimately the spiritual debt, because if we break God's law, you know, there's the wages of that is death, not
yeah.
debt, D-E-B-T, but D-E-A-T-H, you know.
That's right.
And yet Jesus came to set us free from that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is powerful.
I was reading during the week a book I'm rereading, an old one too, but The Healing Reawakening, Reclaiming Our Lost Inheritance, by a man called Francis McNutt, who's quite old now, I think, but he was quite active in the healing ministry, particularly in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But he comments on this particular passage that we've just read, and he says, like Jesus preaching, our own preaching should declare that the kingdom of Satan is being destroyed. That cannot happen by our own efforts. Only the power of God can heal the sick and free people from the evil that weighs down on them at every level. And then he lists seven different areas, if you like, of need. He says, we are distant from God, so we need the Spirit to help us come into an intimate relationship with God. So that's the first thing he says we need, is a relationship with God, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, because we are burdened by sin, we need forgiveness. Thirdly, some of us are infested or oppressed by evil spirits and need deliverance.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Number four, our bodies are sick, we need physical healing. So sometimes it's a physical touch we need. Five, since we are ignorant and deluded, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's the opening of the eyes that we talked about from Isaiah and Luke. We are wounded emotionally and need emotional inner healing. So that's another aspect of the gospel, is that God gives actual healing of emotions and you know, helps us in that way. And finally, McNutt says, our characters are flawed. We need to become like Christ through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace. So that's our moral bankruptcy, the fact that we are not able to help ourselves, to do with habits of sin and so on like that. So that we actually need the fruit of the Spirit to change the character. So it's not just forgiveness of what's past, it's actual day-to-day help in changing our character. So it's kind of moral, not so much reformation by good resolutions, but by the work of the Holy Spirit producing different fruit inside us.
Yeah, well, look, many of us need all seven of them, don't we?
We sure do.
But I think forgiveness, it's hard to put priorities on this, but I really would probably put forgiveness as the highest priority. You know, that we need to forgive others. We need to receive, first of all, forgiveness for ourselves. And you can't get that. See, I always say God had a problem. You know what God's problem was? It sounds very arrogant to put it that way. God had a problem that he's a loving God and he's a holy God. And both of them seem to contradict each other. Loving God says we all go to heaven. Holy God says we all go to hell. You know, and yet they were reconciled in Jesus, that the Father so loved the world, he sent his only Son, so that the payment for sin, and this is the thing most modern, many modern theologians, many modern secularists, they all overlook this, the fact that there's a cost and there's a price on sin. And it was the very thing that was put on Jesus' shoulder on the cross, because he'd none of his own.
It said he himself bore our sins on the tree, on the cross. And that's why it says in the, there's a lovely verse in one of the Psalms, it says, mercy and justice have met. In other words, it's kind of a wedding, a coming together of the mercy of God and the justice of God.
Well,
and
that's mysterious, very well put, yeah.
Mysterious
two,
to us how that happens.
Yeah. So do you have, Paul, this week, we as we say, we normally towards the end of the program, we do have a prayer out of Jesus's prayer book, which is the Psalms.
And I was going to look at a few verses from the longest of the Psalms, which is number 119, and I'm just going to read a few verses.
Yeah, so we'll be on the air till midnight tonight going through this one, I think. But no, you're taking a portion of it, I gather.
Okay, I sure am.
It's like an alphabetical poem.
It is, yes. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so there are 22 kind of verses or strophes in this psalm, stanzas, and each of them is eight verses in our Bible, so it's 8 times 22 gives you your total. I think that makes something. I think it's 176 verses. Uh-huh. But I'm just going to read the first two sections of it. Okay.
Good.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. On the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Yeah, and you've been listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM. We're here every Monday at 5 o'clock up till 5.30. And next week, Paul, we're going to do a special on St. Patrick.
St. Patrick, that's right.
And just to let you know, also on St. Patrick's Day, I'll be out outside of McDonald's on Grafton Street. If you see a man standing on a stool with the Jesus sign, that's me. Come shake my hand, say hello. And
be interviewed for a Near FM God Talk, if you like.
I'm not sure whether I'll be doing interviews, receiving them or what, but it's always very, very busy on Patrick's Day. And
so you're not going to be in Twickenham. You won't be in Twickenham.
That's later. We'll catch that or we'll tape it or something like that. So God bless you all. Thank you very much for listening.
Okay,
and
evening,
don't forget to text in. As I say, it's a 24/7 text number, 087 979 5454.